All right. Today is an exciting day. I get a chance to visit with Kevin Sanchez of A Leaf Early, who also serves as a senior on my advisory team of students that help guide me with decisions throughout the district. And so I know that this conversation started with us sitting, meeting, talking through some challenges within the district as a team. And one of the things that you celebrated was your participation in the Genesis program. And so I think the charge I put to my team is, you know, well, why don't more people know about this program that he's a part of, and how can we learn more about it, and how can we celebrate what he's doing with the work? And so we arrived at this podcast conversation. So I'll pause right there for you to tell us a little bit more, one, about yourself, two, about this Genesis program that I know you're super excited about being a part of.
Oh, hello, I'm Kelvin from A Leaf Early College High School. So Genesis is a program that helps seniors in high school acquire corporate jobs for a year long. Some of the companies are CenterPoint Energy, Texas Children's Hospital, and like myself, Williams. I got through my internship. It was proposed at the beginning of my junior year, like midway till December. You know, that's when the application was around. And then I applied for it. I got in. We did a summer training. I learned amazing corporate skills, from networking to professionalism and just, you know, general corporate skills, like mm-hmm. learning how to use BIM, mm-hmm. Excel, PowerPoint, mm-hmm. you know, formulas for accounting. And mm-hmm. it just helped immensely. And now I'm here working with these amazing engineers mm-hmm. every day at my company. Mm-hmm.
So let's peel it back just a little bit for a student that's watching this. And of course, we want to make sure that students know about this and can take advantage of it. What did you have to do for the application?
So they ask you about why you want the job. Mm-hmm. See, they're not really requiring a specific like GPA standards or the mm-hmm. most outstanding candidate. Mm-hmm. They just simply want someone who's willing to put in the work and wants to, you know, seek greatness mm-hmm. and wants to put themselves out there, you know, because, you know, school is hard for some people. Mm-hmm. And they're not looking, again, for the best candidate. They're just looking for someone who's willing to put in the work mm-hmm. and push through and be generational change. Mm-hmm.
So somebody hungry.
Yes. Somebody hungry to yeah. succeed. Yeah. Somebody yeah. who wants to work.
Yeah. So how did you even come about, like, learning about the application? Like, where did you find the information? Like, if I'm a student, like, how do I learn? Like, okay, to get to the application, where do I go?
So thankfully, I had an AVID teacher, Mr. Mm-hmm. Stevenson. He's a senior AVID teacher, AVID 4. He actually introduced the program, Genesis Works, mm-hmm. and they came and recruited people. You know, they showed students like what the program was about, how to apply for it, talked about their benefits, their alumni network. Mm-hmm. And then from there on, you know, I got the application and I just did it right then and there.
Mm-hmm. So now I know you have some pieces down here in front of us. Tell us a little about what these pieces mean and about what you do on a day-to-day basis in Genesis, besides some of the pieces that you described earlier.
So for example, let's talk about that note card right there. That's one of the business. I'm actually their poster boy.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So I'm right now their face.
Okay. So hold on. You're the face of the Genesis program, right?
Right now, yeah.
Wow.
As okay. of now.
Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a big poster at my school, and they did this just to, like, more or less inspire other kids mm-hmm. to let them know, like, I'm one of them as well, mm-hmm. and that they're also capable of doing the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just me that's doing this. Like, no, all of you are capable and able mm-hmm. to do the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not something grand or special because, yeah. you know, I don't like to be viewed as that. Mm-hmm. And, I guess we can talk about my internship. Mm-hmm. So I work on the 8th floor at mm-hmm. Williams Tower. You know, it's a beautiful building. You know, I guess something that, like, changed my life drastically was, before that, I was working at Taco Cabana. Mm-hmm. You know, I was working a fast food job, you know, like every high school student does, mm-hmm. you know. And then my life changed extremely at the beginning of August when mm-hmm. I got the internship. And I got it through my personal coordinator. Mm-hmm. Her name was Catherine. She's a lovely person. Mm-hmm. She saw me working through coding projects because I was taking dual credit classes mm-hmm. during the summer, and I was taking introduction to programming. And I told her how frustrating it was to just, you know, run codes and always get bugs and them not working out. Mm-hmm. And then eventually I had a breakthrough, and she was just really intrigued by the fact that I was doing that. And she asked me if I was interested in engineering, and I said, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how it all started, you know. She chose me for that company, and now I'm there working with a team of engineers every day conducting pipeline maintenance.
So you said you were working at Taco Cabana, so I'm assuming you were getting paid. Are you getting paid to be a part of the Genesis program?
Oh, yes. Okay. You get paid, yeah.
So two questions. What were you getting paid at Taco Cabana, and what do you get compensated within the program?
So at Taco Cabana, I was only making like $10 an hour. It was my first job, so I wasn't really asking for much. I just wanted, you know, just to start working, you know, get some experience. At Genesis Works, they pay students up to like $10,000 a year. Oh, it could be more, because honestly, it depends on the hours that you make. You know, the average student works about 4 hours every day from Monday through Friday. However, like me, who's able to take online classes, I can go in a little bit earlier and clock in 6 hours. So paycheck differs for every 2 weeks.
But you get paid more.
Yes, I get paid a lot more, and the work that I do is a lot more comfortable. I can sit in my office and, you know, do the reports that I need to do, run the files and software that I need to do from, you know, AutoCAD to the rest.
So wait, you have an office?
Yeah, I got a little cubicle.
Got a little cubicle?
Yeah, like a nice little comfy cubicle, you know, raises up and down.
Okay.
Yeah, if I'm ever, you know, if I need to use the restroom, I can just go.
Yeah.
You know, it's just really amazing how, you know, the lifestyle difference is from where I was at the beginning of 2023 to where I am now.
Yeah. And you're still a student here in A-Leave.
Yeah, I'm still, you know, turn 18, you know, I'm still senior, still like beginning to adult. So it's just, I find it kind of hard to believe how far I've come.
Yeah. So that's where you are right now as a senior. You know, I can tell you just from my experience, that's usually the experience of like a senior in college that's interning, right? But you're having that experience right now as a senior and a student right here in A-Leave. So like, where do you see this going from here?
Well, I'm just gonna continue to see greatness. It's funny you mentioned that. I have a few friends that are actually from the University of Houston that are also interns there. Wow. So when they see me, they always assume I'm also a college intern. But honestly, what I love most about this program is just the opportunity to just network and just like understand like what all these programs do, you know, understand what it takes to be like an engineer. And you make these like long-term relationships with these people and they genuinely want to help you, you know? It's like, there's a lot of stuff that I didn't know about like corporate jobs, like the work culture. That's like a significant factor when it comes to like, because when you get a job, you think like, am I going to work here for the rest of my life or am I going to pursue something else? And just like working there has taught me all of that.
So two things you talked about networking and work culture. So let's try to take those like one at a time. So for a senior that's here in A-Leave, give us a few pointers about networking and what have you learned in the context of the Genesis program about networking that you feel like is going to help you as you move forward.
I feel like for me, I tend to smile a lot. And if you have like a friendly, you know, happy go lucky approach, you know, people tend to gravitate towards you. You know, they like what they see, you know, they see a kid that wants to succeed in life and obviously they want to support that, you know? And for me, it's like, I know I can confidently say now that if I wanted to continue working my internship, even after, right? Let's say I go to U of H and I want to continue mechanical engineering, I'm sure they would offer me the job right then and there. They're like, of course, we want to keep you. You know, we've seen the work you put in at a young age. You know, we are confident that you will be an asset for this company. When it comes to work culture, what I meant more was the people there are always like super friendly, like super friendly. You know, when they're walking by, even if they don't know you, they just greet you. They say hello. Whereas in like some jobs like Taco Cabana, for example, people aren't happy with their lives and, you know, they're not happy to be there because unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things that happen in life that cause you to work at a certain place.
So it's funny how you kind of made the connection between quality of life as you work in one setting versus another. And so just in terms of students that are seeking to go from grades 9 through 12 and graduate and looking at future opportunities, what advice would you tell them if they were considering not going to college or going to college or earning a certification of some sort.
Oh yeah, I honestly don't think there's an issue with not going to college. Mm-hmm. I just prefer for me, just because I know the route that I'm taking. But I would always say have, you know, your route like secured, your plan, what you're gonna do, and make sure you follow through with it. And if it doesn't work out, always have a backup plan. Like trade school is not a bad idea. I think a lot of, there's actually a requirement in trade school. Like there's a low demand or high demand. And I feel like those jobs are getting paid more and more and more. So like electricians, plumbers, you know, those jobs are always going to be needed. So trade school is definitely not a bad idea. Even joining the military, it has so many benefits that I didn't know about until like recently that I found out about through recruitment.
So one of the things that you talked to us about, because what you all do as students on my advisory team, is you all help us to resolve problems. You all help give us solutions. So I know one of the pieces that you spoke about, just in terms of like a slight frustration, is like students knowing about the opportunities like the ones in the Genesis program. So what would you say? I know we have private conversations about this, but what would you say to the, you know, the leaders on the campuses that have knowledge of these programs? What would you say to us to try to help make sure that students are taking advantage of this program?
I would say just apply to every opportunity that's available. Even if you don't think you can win it, just do it. I'm telling you that you're it's better to take a shot than not take a shot at all. You know, I feel like we have this mentality that we just think that we're not capable of just because of where we come from. When the reality is, like, you are the master of your boat. You're the one in control of like where this journey takes you. So please, like, take control, take action, and just apply. Like, I cannot stress that enough. Just apply.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So as you've kind of gone this route, I mean, of course, this is all new to you. So what are some of the challenges you face? Like, certainly, you know, again, you're going into this big corporate building, and was that your first big corporate building, or have you gone to like a bunch of them?
That was the first time I've ever been somewhere so fancy.
Okay.
Because, you know, I'm used to just like going to, you know, like the corner store, or, you know, just like nowhere like that fancy. So when I first got there, I was so overwhelmed. I was scared because I thought like, oh, they're going to know that I'm not from here, or they're going to know I don't belong here. You know, I'm just a kid. What do I know? You know, like everybody here is like experienced, you know, they're all like double my age, you know, in their 40s, 30s, you know, they've already graduated college. You know, no one in my family has ever, you know, been to college. So for me, it was just so surreal. You know, it didn't feel real. It felt scary because I didn't know how I was going to manage through it. But, you know, I took my time, you know, I believed in myself, you know, trust God. And, you know, I pushed through. Thankfully, everybody was kind. You know, they taught me everything, because, you know, there's a lot of things that I had to learn. You know, the path to success is not straightforward. It's exponential. It goes up and down.
No, that's cool. I mean, I think that for me and you, I mean, I experienced similar challenges, right? I think what you're talking about is like, you know, imposter syndrome and code switching. And as you go into these environments, like for me, like you said, kind of being in a situation where my dad did go to college. I never even knew my dad went to college, right? Until later on, because my dad, he drove trucks. And so I didn't even know he had a degree. My mom, she didn't go to college, but she went to junior college for a little while. And so I was kind of like the first one that graduated and moved on and took advantage of some of the opportunities that you're seeing now, right? But I think that for me, like you said, going into those environments, it was like, okay, You're trying to figure it out, right? You're trying to figure out the people, you're trying to figure out the process. It's like all of it's new. So I can definitely identify with that as a challenge. What I would tell you is, and you know, again, we get a chance to have these conversations as a part of the group, is that you'll continue to like go into those situations that are new.
Yes, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. For me, yeah, that was definitely like big challenge. And then what I remember, I actually wrote this a lot. So I always wrote why I'm doing the things that I'm doing. Like, I'm not just doing this for myself anymore. You know, I'm doing this for my family, for my four older siblings that didn't go to college, because, you know, we prefer to eat than to, you know, be in debt and starve. And just like thinking, I mean, my principal, actually, Dr. B, Dr. Brotherton, she always reminds me, like, what I'm doing is so much bigger than myself, because, you know, I'm representing, you know, my community, you know, my heritage, like where I come from. So I always have to remind myself, like, the work that I'm doing is just so much bigger than myself.
Yeah. And the thing that you don't see, and I actually had this conversation yesterday with one of our colleagues, is that the work that you're doing now is, while you're the direct benefactor, it's gonna impact generations of kids within your family, right?
Yes.
Because this is a thing, the information and the knowledge that you get from this, you'll be able to pass it on to whether it's your siblings, children that you're going to be the uncle for, because I do that with all of my nieces and nephews, is looking at the different educational opportunities, passing on, you know, the scholarship information, passing on, hey, here are the career fields that you need to look at. So you become this resource for your family. And so how do you see yourself kind of taking on that challenge and stepping into those shoes as you grow and learn more?
Well, it's still a position that I'm still adjusting to, you know, being a leader, you know, all that's expected of me, just because so many organizations and, you know, scholarships invested in me. So yeah, you're right. It is a big responsibility, but I do plan on taking this wholeheartedly, you know, seriously. You know, I want to do good. I want to give back to my community and just do so much more for them. You know, I want my nieces to grow up, you know, and because they're gonna grow up in Alief, right? So I want them to have the best possible opportunities, because you know, growing up, I didn't have that until right now, where I'm just drastically, you know, evolving and changing. So yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that, like some of the opportunities that you, if you had to like look forward, what are some of the opportunities that for your nieces and nephews that you would want to see them have in this community?
So I want them to have more access to, like, for me personally, I was always interested in STEM from like a very young age. You know, it's like right there we have the dragon right there. It's like I loved Pokemon.
Okay.
I love Pokemon games.
Okay,
you know?
We got a lot of Pokemon around my house. I have a son here in the district, and he has several Pokemon cards.
Yeah. And then I always thought, like, it would be so cool to have one in real life. Okay. You know? So I guess...
A dragon in real life?
Yeah.
Okay.
I always wanted to be like Ash, like a trainer, you know, catch Pokemon. So, you know, when Pokemon Go came out, that was really fun.
Okay.
Yeah. But no, I just started with 3D printing and, you know, just understanding what the design aspect of it was. And then I got more intrigued by it, you know. Growing up in Alief, I was mostly inspired by my dad, just because, you know, he, where we grew up, it wasn't really a safe place, right? So, you know, we always had like windows broken, doors, you know, thieves. And through him, though, I learned how to like repair houses and, you know, fix doors and windows and understand the electrical wiring of like the house. And then, you know, we only had like one car. So, you know, I was always fixing the same old car, you know, the beat down car. And just through him, just really learn all the engineering process.
Yeah. No, I definitely, for me, again, like you said, we go back and forth with it, but, you know, we had one car, and it's like you said, this one car had to get seven kids to school. So my aunt would make drop offs. So she would take, you know, some to the elementary school, come back, and then take some to the middle school, depending on, you know, what the weather looked like. If the weather was good, then it's like, hey, the older kids, y'all walk. So I definitely can identify with that. And so you take that, you're thinking about it, you're thinking about your little nieces and nephews. And so you grew and you learned from the foundation that your dad gave you. What would you want to see us be able to do for your nieces and nephews that are future, or they're students here in Alief now, or they're going to be future students?
They're going to be future students.
Okay.
In Alief, yeah.
So what would you want to see us do to try to make sure that they get the opportunities that you're talking about right now?
I just want them to be able to have like as much, because, you know, they're both STEM is such a big branch because it's so broad. So I just want them to have all the resources, like here at the CTE building, you know. I want them to be able to do just simple things like 3D design, you know, from, you know, if they want to pursue like medical, well, I want them to have the best medical resource here. Regardless of like what they choose to do, I just want them to have the best opportunity and the best like access to those resources, like easily, you know. I don't want them navigating, like for me, I had to like seek elsewhere to get these opportunities. So I want them to have everything here at home where they don't have to go and seek it.
So where'd you make these 3D items at?
So you know, we have West Houston, mm-hmm. but unfortunately I couldn't use those mm-hmm. because I wasn't 18 at the time. Mm-hmm. So we actually, with a group of friends of mine, we built the machine, and then we got the filament, we made the designs, and we just printed it out. Yeah.
So you and your friends built a 3D printer.
Yes.
And made those.
Yeah. Also, now that I have segued into this, mm-hmm. I think it's also very important the people you surround yourself with, because mm-hmm. You know, I've had these friends since my freshman year mm-hmm. of high school, and we have always had the same aspirations and ideals, and you know, through them, you know, it's just crazy how far we've come, because they've also acquired like similar internships. Mm-hmm. You know, they're doing their own things. You know, mm-hmm. I'm just really happy because I also worked with them at Taco Cabana. So mm-hmm. just seeing how we're at this like amazing building mm-hmm. where mm-hmm. we were just like, you know, cleaning, taking out the trash mm-hmm. every day mm-hmm. and cleaning tables. It's just, mm-hmm. it's just so beautiful and amazing to mm-hmm. just wake up knowing that, you know, we came from struggle and mm-hmm. now we're up here.
That's cool. That's cool. So, you talk about STEM and you talk about access and what we do, or what, you know, as, you know, ALEAF ISD, what we provide you to set you up to be able to go on to these STEM opportunities. So why is that important? Like, why is it important that, you know, we provide you with 3D printers and all this other stuff yeah. you're talking about?
So for me, I guess, in middle school, actually, you know, that's when I began doing the coding and Arduinos and, you know, just learning about that stuff. And I had this one teacher in particular. So shout out to Mr. Blevins from mm-hmm. Killow Middle School. Mm-hmm. He was actually a nuclear engineer. So he, you know, introduced everything to me. You know, he was also telling me how he was he helps out with Schoology, you know, the website and the app. So, you know, through him, I feel like if I would have never met him, I would have never gotten the opportunity to do any of that. And through him, he had two 3D printers. Mm-hmm. So I started, you know, applying myself into those. And he was just telling me like what it was and what I could do with it. And he was just telling me how this is going to be the future eventually, you know. Mm-hmm. We already see it now with like 3D printed houses and how it's just continuing to evolve, you know, softwares and, you know, all this tech stuff. Mm-hmm.
3D printed houses. So a printer actually makes a house?
Yeah, there's 3D printed houses now, actually, yeah.
Wow. Okay. That I see the dragon and I see the building, but like I see the little building, but yeah. but you're saying an entire house is printed. So just thinking about, like you said, AI and all the other opportunities that are in front of our students, like what do you see us being able to support students that are looking to go into STEM with that?
I think that we should hear them out in what they want, mm-hmm. you know, what they think they need. And we should, you know, try our best to apply that, maybe partner up with other organizations that want to help us out mm-hmm. and just do our best, mm-hmm. do what we can, mm-hmm. you know, doesn't need to be perfect, mm-hmm. but as long as we're starting and mm-hmm. as long as we're continuing on this path, I think we'll be set, mm-hmm. you know?
So how do you, like you said that you and some friends got together and y'all put together a 3D printer. So like, how do you stay on top of like you said, the next thing? Cause STEM is always evolving, constantly changing. And it doesn't take like years for it to change. It can change in a few months. So
yeah.
How do you stay tapped into like what that?
So I use LinkedIn and okay. I follow a lot of content creators that are in STEM, you okay. know, a lot of like Elon Musk, for example, you know, he's always trying to build a new rocket ship or mm-hmm. start the new innovation with his like, you know, Teslas. Mm-hmm. So I feel like just adapting to the constant change and following like the right communities will definitely set you on the right path.
Mm-hmm. LinkedIn, you gotta break that down for people that may not know.
Oh, like yeah,
what is LinkedIn?
So LinkedIn, I guess I could best explain it as a social media platform, but okay. more for professionalism and just like career building. Mm.
So not TikTok?
No, not TikTok. You know, TikTok is sometimes a little goofy. So
okay. So not TikTok. Mm-hmm. What's another platform? What's Snapchat? Do y'all still use Snapchat?
We don't use Snapchat. Okay.
So what other platforms do you use?
Well, I try to stay away from Instagram and social media like that, just simply because I find it as like a distraction.
Okay.
Or I tend to compare myself to them, and then that's why I'm like, nope, we gotta take that off because we're not doing that.
Yeah.
So I tend to just use just LinkedIn and YouTube, just okay. because I love watching videos on YouTube and learning yeah. some new things.
So not the gram, not TikTok, but LinkedIn and YouTube.
Yeah, because, you know, I feel like that's a current issue with a lot of young teens. It's mm-hmm. like, we'll get on TikTok, we'll scroll for hours and hours and hours, or we'll be bored and then pull up our phone, and then before we know it, 2 hours have passed, you know? Mm-hmm. So I just feel like, for me, mm-hmm. I had to like set a timer on myself with how long I could be on that app, or I just had to delete it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, they're actually starting to do like disclaimers and stuff like that for young adults to know, like, hey, this is in some ways detrimental, you know? Mm-hmm. So LinkedIn, I know that I had a couple of you do presentations on like just how you're leveraging social media. So I know that you're in this professional realm at this time. Like, how do you continue to use LinkedIn to help you network and stuff like that?
So let's say I go to a career fair, for example, mm-hmm. and I'll talk to somebody, I'll learn some stuff, you know, maybe we have some similarities. I'll ask them if I can follow them on LinkedIn, and mm-hmm. that's how we'll connect. And then, for example, let's say I need something from them, right? Or I just want to know something else. I'll hit them up like a few days later and be like, hey, you remember this conversation we were having? Look, I found this article about mm-hmm. this and that. You know, I would be interested if we could, you know, talk about this more in person or virtually. Mm-hmm. And then it would just go from there. And mm-hmm. that's how you establish those like connections.
Mm-hmm. So what are some things, given your work, your line of work, what are some things you might touch base with them to kind of discuss? And what's the impact of some of those discussions? Like, what does it do for you professionally?
For me professionally, it helps establish those corporate connections. So like, let's mm-hmm. say they might know somebody that knows somebody else, mm-hmm. you know, and then they can be like the third party that introduces me.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's a big one. Or for example, let's say there's a job that I want to acquire
mm-hmm.
or this program that I want to be a part of, and I'll hit them up and ask them like what they can help me mm-hmm. or what they did to get there,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's definitely a big, because I have students like at my school that actually like connect with me on LinkedIn, and then they ask me like, oh, how did you do this and this
mm-hmm.
and that?
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, I'll reply and I'll just tell them like exactly what I did, and then I'll get to know like what type of person they are through our conversations. And then, you know, if I see I can help them in any way, I'll do my best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a, you know, LinkedIn, and I'm on LinkedIn. It's to your point, man, you get a chance to like vastly expand your network
mm-hmm.
beyond even the scope of Houston, Texas, right?
Yes.
Because you can connect with people in California, you can connect with people in New York, and even though you're right here in Texas, like you said, you can build this network of professionals that you connect with and you discuss like, hey, I work, and how did you tackle this challenge? How did you navigate this? So I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. I've been on the platform for a long time. I think the thing that surprised me was to learn between you and some of the other students on the advisory board, that just to see how you all are leveraging LinkedIn at your age was just like, for me, it was dynamic, because to your point, you see a lot of young adults TikToking and
yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that.
Instagram.
Yeah, but, you know, it's just like I'm trying to stay focused, remain right. focused. So that's why I tend to stay away from that.
Man, you sound like you're trying to level up. You're making a bunch of bread over there in that
yeah.
big business.
Yeah, no, they definitely helped me. Like, I remember, you know, the scholarships, right, for Amazon. You know, I applied for that. I told them why I wanted to be an engineer,
mm-hmm.
gave them, like, my story, my background. And I compared my company actually mm-hmm. to their company mm-hmm. and said how we have similar values, you know? Because
okay.
Williams, it's a gas and petroleum, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I explained to people as we are Amazon,
mm-hmm.
but for the gas and petroleum world, because our customers are going to be CenterPoint Energy,
mm-hmm.
right? Where they convert the gas and natural gases into electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're delivering that to them. And we supply America with like 33% of like all natural gas.
Wow.
Yeah.
So y'all like big brother on the block for that mm-hmm. industry.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think that's what really solidified like why they wanted to choose me for this
mm-hmm.
Scholarship.
Because
mm-hmm. 40,000 is a lot of money, you mm-hmm. know, so that's very generous.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, just the internship itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, wow, I'm going to be working for Amazon as an engineer. It's just mm-hmm. it's crazy to think, especially at such a young age. I even shock myself sometimes because I'm just like, oh yeah, I forgot kids my age aren't really doing that.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think that part of this conversation is me acknowledging how impressive your accomplishments are. Mm-hmm. I think the other part of it is trying to make sure that everybody knows that, to your point, like, hey, you all can do this too.
Yes, please. Like, I'm just a normal kid. Like, mm-hmm. really, mm-hmm. you know, I feel like, you know, we're stuck with this mentality, like, oh, college isn't going to work out. Oh, mm-hmm. we cannot pay for college, or, you know, we're going to end up working construction or something, you know. And the reality is, it's not, you know, it's up to you mm-hmm. to really just go out there and seek greatness. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I just want every kid to know that, you know, if I can do it, you can do it too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all capable of doing the same thing.
Mm-hmm. So bringing it back home to economic impact, I imagine working at Williams, working at Amazon, you get a chance to see something dynamically different than if you stop at working at Taco Cabana. And like you said, nothing wrong with working at Taco Cabana.
Yeah.
But if you stop there, here's the wage that you get. But if you go on to Williams, if you go on to Amazon, here's the way. Like, what do you see the benefit for you being, like, in the future with the compensation that you get at either one of those companies versus Taco Cabana?
Well, honestly, obviously, you know, the one thing I missed from Taco Cabana was the food, just because I could always get the food whenever I was hungry. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just the overall just lifestyle difference. You know, you get to pursue your passion, your dreams, you know. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people that, you know, that I met actually at Taco Cabana, you know, they told me that the reasons why they couldn't go to college was because, you know, money was always a barrier, or like a parent was sick. Mm-hmm. So they were forced to work there and provide for their families. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like if they would have met me earlier, I could have helped them mm-hmm. just like seek, like, there's programs that, you know, assist you, like, financially, mm-hmm. you know, they want to see you succeed. Like, I know for Williams, you know, some, like, I think if you become an accountant, like, they'll pay for your college because they want you to continue going to school, mm-hmm. you know, get that education, get that money up. mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. And then, you know, these jobs, these corporate jobs, you know, they really do care about their employers, you know. Mm-hmm. It's not just money, mm-hmm. but, you know, you got to take care of, like, the inside before you take care of the outside, mm-hmm. you know.
So when you talk about, like, your dreams, like, what you want to accomplish in life, like, this is the vehicle, right? So whether we're talking about Williams mm-hmm. and the internship, or Amazon and the scholarship and the internship, like what are your dreams for your life? Like, what do you want to accomplish for you?
So, you know, I'm definitely going to keep working at one of these jobs for a bit, but it's not my end goal, you know, because, mm-hmm. you know, I didn't want to become a software engineer. That's what I was aspiring to be. But, you know, Williams helped me understand the physical aspect, the in-person aspect, right? And now with Amazon, I feel like because I understand how all these, like, machineries work and how the process is with Amazon, I can apply the software behind them now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, my end goal will probably to be in a startup, you know, mm-hmm. helping benefit society in some way, maybe in the medical field. I'm still not sure because mm-hmm. I'm, you know, I'm still figuring out everything myself, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, I know I'm young and mm-hmm. I look impressionable, but, like, mm-hmm. I'm still also just navigating life. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still, I don't even know myself that mm-hmm. well perfectly yet, or mm-hmm. who I am or who I'm going to be.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a journey that, mm-hmm. that I think everybody takes. So mm-hmm. maybe in the future, I hope to do more, like, nanotech.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I remember joking about this, like, I'll be the first one to solve cancer, or, you know, I'll use nanotech to, like, freeze cancer cells so they mm-hmm. can't spread. It won't be a permanent solution, but it'll be mm-hmm. temporary.
Mm-hmm.
So just, you know, just big aspirations. Always keep dreaming big. Mm-hmm. You know, don't stop. You know, always set new goals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it keeps you busy, and I feel like that's also very important.
Mm-hmm. Can teachers and administrators and A-Leaf, will they have the opportunity to invest in your startup before you go public?
Of course. You know, I'll start it right here in A-Leaf, actually. Because okay. I don't plan on, like, going somewhere far, or, like, mm-hmm. you know, just forgetting about A-Leaf. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, forget this place. No, mm-hmm. no, no. I plan on coming back and, you know, helping solve issues, just because, you know, I've seen a lot of friends and close family impacted by the issues. So I want to be part of the change and do something bigger mm-hmm. than myself.
Yeah. Well, I definitely think that you are, man, not just ahead of the curve, but, like, beyond the curve when you talk about, man, solving, you know, and curing cancer. And, like, I love the fact that you have the ambition that you do. I love the fact that, you know, these are things that you want to make sure that every student in A-Leaf gets a chance to get exposed to. So if we had to wrap up the conversation, what are some nuggets of advice that you would leave for students in ALEAF as well as the educational leaders in ALEAF?
Well, as my teacher said, keep applying. don't stop ever applying. Mm-hmm. And don't ever stop believing in yourself. Just because truly, like I tell you, like I was not a perfect student until recently, just because I had a change in my mindset and the way I believed in myself. You know, I struggled a lot, you know, intermediate and elementary, you know, because I, you know, I had language barriers. Mm-hmm. I sucked at math. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to do any of these things that I'm able to do now. And if I would have told myself all you would have done later on in life, mm-hmm. you probably would have been like, oh, no, this guy's tripping. Mm-hmm. this guy's mm-hmm. something's on, like he's on something. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I feel like don't ever stop chasing your dreams. Mm-hmm. Keep going. Keep pushing through. You know, where you come from is not where you'll end up. Mm-hmm. You know, hang around with the correct people. Mm-hmm. You know, always trust in God. You know, if you believe in a higher power, you know, mm-hmm. trust in God. You know, pray continuously and just continue to have good character, mm-hmm. I would say. Treat everybody fairly, mm-hmm. you know, and be generous. Mm-hmm. So those are the main messages that I've learned along the way.
So where you start is not where you finish. What about for again, me as the leader of ALEAF or even our principals and our teachers, what nuggets would you give us?
That wherever you are now is still not the end goal. You know, mm-hmm. if you're happy with where you are, well then congrats, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I'm happy for you. Mm-hmm. But if you think that this isn't for you and you could do something greater, well mm-hmm. then I would say continue. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. don't feel bad that you're like offending anybody, because mm-hmm. it's your life at the end of the day, you know? Mm-hmm. You should be pursuing what you want to pursue. Mm-hmm. Don't feel any guilt over that, mm-hmm. you know?
Okay. Well, thank you for sitting with me today, man. I think that you've dropped a lot of gems on a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Hopefully our students and our community will check out this podcast and feel inspired and feel like, hey, there's, like you said, where you start isn't where you finish. And sure, I could have a bad, you know, middle school year or a bad intermediate year, but guess what? I could still end up winning my 4 years of high school.
Yeah.
But it's all about mindset.
Yeah. Even like, after high school, you can mm-hmm. still continue to achieve. Like, you don't need to go to college to mm-hmm. be successful, obviously. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if you're not sure about what path to take, obviously go to college. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you don't need that. You know, everything, what I say is I'm not attaching myself to all these accomplishments just because, like, I know that they could honestly be taken away from me.
Any day.
And I would be fine with that because, any you know, day. I know who I am at heart mm-hmm. and I got to do what I got to do.
Yeah. Colin Powell has a quote that I usually live by. It's like, hey, you never attach your ego or your sense of self to your accomplishments. Because like you said, all of that can be gone. And if it's good enough for Colin Powell, then it's good enough for me.
Yeah.
I thank you for sitting with me today. Again, hopefully some of the stuff that you've shared today can impact, you know, everybody within ALEAF that's listening and check, you know, dialing in to kind of learn more about what's going on here. So I appreciate you sitting with me and I appreciate you having the conversation with me.
Thank you. You know, I'm glad we had this conversation. You know, I'm still getting to know everybody in ALEAF and, mm-hmm. you know, trying to figure out what I want to do in the future. So, mm-hmm. you know, having these conversations do help me, you know, it helps me understand like, you know, too much to whoever is given much is expected, you know? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I need to put myself out there even right now where I'm like, I'm still adjusting and I feel uncomfortable, mm-hmm. but I feel like that's a good thing because it's just giving me more exposure and more willingness to continue doing this.
Yeah. So everybody, that is Kevin Sanchez from ALEAF Early. Stay tuned for an opportunity to invest in his startup. He said he is going to open up that opportunity to teachers and administrators in ALEAF. I'll be happy to be one of the first investors. So, hey man, we're proud of you. Thank you. Keep going. Keep doing the great work that you're doing.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been an AMP production.